Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Nun Ches. We're holding Nun Zayin Omid Beis, two lines from the bottom of the Omid. And the Gemara first quotes from our Mishnah, Shoyim Echinam Einoy Nishba. Remember that our Mishnah told us that there are four categories of different things which the halacha of Oino'ah and other halachas do not apply. What were those four categories? We had Karkois, Shtarois, okay. Avodim, and Hegdeshois. And among those halachas that do not apply are Shem Mechinam Einoy Nishba. If a Shem Mechinam was given Shmira over Karka, over Hegdish, an Eved, or a Shtar, under normal circumstances, a Shem Mechinam, if he is appointed a Shomer over regular Metaltalin, he is potter from everything except for Pshia. And if something is stolen, or if the object is lost, he makes a shavua that it was nignav or ne'evad, and he's off the hook. But not in our Mishnah, not in these four cases. In these four cases, ain't a nishba, he doesn't have to make a shavua, and he's off the hook anyway. How do I know this? The Gemara brought a makar from the pasuk yesterday, ki tanisho riehu, chamar oishar, now actually the previous one, ki tanisho riehu, kesav akel nishmar, etc., klal oprata klal, and then it says at the end of the pasuk, riehu v'loishal hekish. Shoy, zeifai, kum dechayte shemachinam. If you have nignav or you ne'avad, no shavua. Shemachinam ainu nishba. Freiti mor aminu. I'll ask you a kasha from Mesech Dishkolim. B'nei u'ir sh'sholchu es shekleyen. It's now Rosh Chodesh Adar. And they make public appeals throughout Klal Yisrael that everybody has to send in a machzor shekel for the new kabbonis for the Beis Hamikdash. So the B'nei u'ir sent in their shkolim and they sent it with a shliach. V'nignavu o'y she'avdu. And they were stolen. Or the shkolim got lost. Im mishin nitrima hatruma, if it's already beyond the time where the kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash already put special coins and they were toidim the truma. If you look at the last Rashi on the Amud, im mishin nitrima hatruma, im kishubo ludin, when they take the shliach into Bezin and they're demanding, hey, mister, did you steal the funds? Did you? What happened to the funds? So they took him into Bezin. If kvar nitnu hatruma, what does that mean? She tore him in halishka begimel kupais. 3 times a year, as Rashi brings later on from Masechta Shkolim, the price of Pesach, the price of Teres, the price of Chag, the Kohanim used to go and transfer funds from the special lishka where they had the funds, and they put it into special boxes, into special kupais, and they used those boxes as the monies for the korbanos until the next chag, from Pesach until Shavuos, Shavuos until Sikkis, Sikkis until the following Pesach. So if the money had already been put into those kupais, 1 or 3 times of the year, and now they discover that the shliach didn't bring the funds, so nishboin ligizbarim, the gizbarim now become the ba'alei din, they become now the plaintiffs in this action. The reason why they become the plaintiffs, Rashi explains, is because from the time that they were toreim the trumais into the kupais, at that time they already said, we have in mind on all the yidden of Klal Yisrael that sent in their matbeos and they got lost. And the reason for this is because we want to make sure that the kabbonis which are brought are not only brought for those that actually gave the machzor shekel, but we want to go mimoitzi aliyin and klai so that they should have a chedek. So if in fact what happened was the certain people lost their shkolim en route, they are also included if the discovery was made post the Toreim HaTrumais. Remember, Toreim HaTrumais was 3 times a year, Prois HaPesach, Prois HaShavuos, and Prois HaChag. So then the shliach has to make a shvua to the gizbar. The amlav, however, if they discovered that these coins were lost or stolen before the time of being toreim the trumais into the gimel kupais, then ishboil b'nei ir. Then they don't make a shvua to the gizbar, they make a shvua to the b'nei ir from the place that sent the shkolim in the first place with this shliach. What's the reason why? Because the Mishnah itself explains, Ubnayir Shoiklim Achirim Tahtayan. If the discovery of the loss or the theft of these shkolim took place pre Trumas Halishka, the 3 times that they were Toreim, then the Bnei Yair have to go and make good by sending him brand new shkalim. Unfortunately, they're going to have to pay twice. However, if it's talking about after they were toyed him the trumais into the kupais, then the Bnei Yair are off the hook, because the gizbarim, when they take the funds and they put them into the kupais, they say l'shem yichud, that this is on behalf of not only the actual yidin that were toyed him these matbeyos, but also ala ovud, anybody that lost his matbeyos or that was stolen en route. Therefore, the first case of the Reisha Nishba LeGizbar is talking about post the Toidim Trumois, where the Gizbar now becomes the new plaintiff, because the Bismigdish is not going to get these coins from that place. And so the Gizbar is saying there's going to be a potential shortfall. I have to go and bring the Shliach to Bezdin to go and make sure that he didn't steal it himself. However, if it's talking about before the Trumas HaTrumois, before the Bismigdish, the Gizbarim went and took the funds and put them into the Gimel Kupais, what's the halacha then? From this point on, if it's before the Trumais, then the Bnei Yair would have to go and pay a second time. So the Bnei Yair, they are the plaintiffs in the litigation. Let's take a quick look at the Rashi at the top. Nishbam the Gizbarim, they have to make, they being the Shlichim, have to go make a Shavuot to the Gizbar, like Poshuban, that they were not Poshaya. Shein Bali Adin, because the Gizbar now, he is the plaintiff. The Bekivin Shet and Torimu Es Alishka, since they already took funds out of the Lishka and put them in the Kupois for purposes of buying the Karbonais, Einach Rai Zaveda Alabalim, the Balim no longer have to make good on the Shkolim that were lost or stolen, El Ala Hegdish, but Hegdish is the one that's going to have to absorb this loss. Can we, like, come on, like we're going to see in the Gemara shortly, the tournament ala avud, what means ala avud? Jehei chelik bekupas alalu lemisha shalach shiklai v'avad v'niyadeya achshav she'avad, that once we already had the kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, the gizborim in the Beis Hamikdash, go and be toirem the trumais from the lishka into the kupais, since they say we're being toirem on behalf of the avudim as well, once that happens, since we didn't know that the shkolim were lost yet, we only found out about it later on, then the Bnei Yair are potter from having to pay a second time, because they are automatically included within the rank and file of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the ones that are the plaintiffs now that are challenging the shliach are the gizbar, because they are the ones that are going to have to absorb the loss. But the next Rashi, Vim Lav, Shenoidu Lehem Mikoidim Lechein, if the townspeople knew about the theft or knew about the loss prior to the Truma Salishka, Shuv Ein Torim Aleihem El Amanashi Yishlichu Lehem Achirim Tachteim. Now the Kehanim and the Beis Migdash, when they are Torim, the Trumais into the Kupais, they no longer say we have in mind Ala Ovud, because we know about the loss, we know about the theft. And therefore, fellas, we are not being Torim on your behalf. You have to go and donate a second time the trumais to the lishka, and therefore Zoktach Rashi, Leticha Bnei Yair Hain Bali Adin Shel Shluchim. Therefore, the Bnei Yair, they are the Bali Adin, because they don't want to have to pay a second time. So they're the one that's going to take him to court, because they will have to absorb the loss by paying a second time. Anyway, Lemaisa, what do I see from this Mishnah in Masechta Shkolim? That whether or not it's the Gizborim or the Bali Dinim, or the Bnei Yair that the Bali Dinim, but bottom line is the Shliach will have to make a Shavua Shaloi Pasha. Oy, 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 didn't we say in our Mishnah that an Eshay Machinim Einoy Nishba? So the two Mishnayas are Soiser one the other. Now before we get to the Teretz, we're going to finish off the Mishnah. What happens? Nimtu Oyshe Hagzirim Haganav. What happens if ultimately somebody found these lost matbeis, or the ganavim returned the theft? Eilu ve'elu shkolim heim. Both of them are considered now to be bona fide shkolim. Ve'in oil lehem l'shona haba. And the townspeople can't say, "Hey, since we pay twice, let's go and get an advance, a credit for next year." No such thing. They're both used for this year. Palamaisa echam to chastida the tzvay mishnayis. Omer Shmuel hocha benoise socher askinon. This case of the Shkolim is not talking about a Shemer Chinam, it's talking about a Shemer Sochar. So what difference does that make? Didn't we say in our Mishnah, a Noisi Sochar also Einoy Mishalem. So what's the purpose of taking him to Bezdin and having a discussion with him? He's off the hook, because the Nois HaSachar is Potter. Legabe Hekdesha, it's like we learned in our Mishnah. Oh, says Shmuel, V'nishbon Lito Scharon. We're not talking about Ein Shvuah to Potter himself from this Geneva Aveda or from a Pshia. No, we're not talking about that. Avada, there is no Tashlumen, there is no Shvuah, because Hashem HaSachar is Potter by Hekdeshais. So what's the whole Shavuah over here? Nishba Lito Scharon. The Shem HaSachar says, it's taka true that the item, the Shkolim, were stolen from me, or I lost them. I don't have to make a Shavuah on that, but I want to get paid for being your Shliach. After all, I went and set aside a week or two for time to go and bring all of the Shkolim from Chutzlars to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, I deserve to get my salary, which was discussed at the beginning. And therefore, I want to be Nishba Lito Scharon. If that's a pshat in the Shavua, why did the Mishnah distinguish between after the Trumais were ready put into the Kupais, where we said that the Gizborim happened to be now the bona fide plaintiffs, and why did we say that prior to the Trumas HaTrumais into the Kupais, then the Bnei Ir happened to be the plaintiffs? The Bnei Ir are always the plaintiffs, are always the defendants, because they are the ones that have to go and pay the salary. The Gizbar certainly doesn't have to pay the salary. So the fact that it says Nishbon the Gizbarim suggests that we're not talking about salary discussions, negotiations, and litigation, but we're litigating over whether or not this Shem HaSachar is on the hook or off the hook because of the Geneva Va'aveda. Feiti Mari Hachi Nishbon the Gizbarim Lanei Imi Boyalei. What the Gemara is saying is, when it says at the top of the Yom, Nishbon LeGizborim, it's not that the Gizborim are the plaintiffs, and they're the ones saying, hey, Shliach, where are the Shkalim? Because we're talking about paying salaries. So therefore, who the plaintiff or who the defendants are really the Bnei Yair. That Bnei Yair don't want to pay the guy's salary because he did a lousy job, the Shkalim were stolen, or the Shkolim were lost, he wants to get a salary, so therefore he is the one that's going to have to make a Shvuah to the Bnei Ir and tell them, fellas, I'm entitled to my salary because the Shkolim were stolen from me, or they were lost. However, the Gizbarim also have an interest in this litigation, because they want to know, why are these Bnei Ir not paying the Shkolim this year? After all, since it's talking about post Truma of taking the Trumais from the Lishka and putting it into the Kupais, Bnei Yair are off the hook. The Gizbarim are suspicious not only of the Shliach, but also of Bnei Yair. So therefore, they want to be present. When it's in Nishbon the Gizbarim, it means Bifnei HaGizbarim, that they are there in the audience watching this going on, so that they see that everything is done al pi halacha, legitimately, bona fide, that the fellow, in fact, is entitled to a salary. Not entitled to a salary, but they want to hear what's going on. Another reason why we make sure that this litigation takes place and the Shavua takes place in front of the Gizbarim, so the Gizbarim shouldn't go and say about the Shlichim or about the Bnei Yair, the Poshea, that they are negligent. According to the original pshat that we were talking about, a shomer chinam, it made a lot of sense that the Mishnah says that if the shkolim were nignivu oisha avdu, then the shliach has to make a shvuah, and with that shvuah he'd be off the hook, because after all, a shomer chinam is part of bnei vaved. But now that Rava is saying we're talking about a shomer sachar, even if he should make a shvuah that nignivu oisha avdu, he's still chayiv, because Hashem HaSachar is chayiv b'gnev v'aveda. So what does this help? What is this nishboim all about? Everything Gemara v'achanami nachamol v'ha'anigni v'arvi k'tani v'Hashem HaSachar v'gnev v'aveda chayiv m'chayiv v'achanami. So now the Gemara is saying, even if you're going to tell me that legabi hegdeshois, because of the psukim that we learned yesterday, Hashem HaSachar is off the hook b'gnev v'aveda, but nevertheless, even though he shouldn't have to go and pay for the Gneva Veda because we're talking about Hegdeshois, but he should certainly lose his salary, because the salary was based on doing a complete act of going and bringing the Shkolim from the hometown, bring them to Yerushalayim. And it's true, it was stolen. It's true that it was never. Fine. He was not Boisheh. Fine. He's off the hook because it happens to be Hegdeshoi, so we have special psukim. Fine. But Lamaisa, why should he be entitled to get his salary? Had this been a regular case of Hegit, he would have had to pay for the shkolim that were stolen or that were lost. Now that he is involved with Hegdeshoi, there's an exemption. But that exemption shouldn't go and entitle him to a salary. Azui Freiti Yimaram. We've had this Rabbah already a number of times. The Rabbah says, well, though the Lashon and Mishnah is Nignevu Oishe Avdu, we're not talking about your standard regular Gneva Aveda. We're really talking about a Gneva Aveda that happened Al Pi Oines. How do you have a Gneva Aveda Al Pi Oines? The Gneva was listed Mizuyan. You're talking about holdupnikers that have them gangsters with drawn guns. What am I supposed to do? It's your money or your life. And I value my life, so therefore, that's why the money was taken. I was so careful about these monies, I can tell you exactly where the monies are. They happen to be inside the safe, which I've paid for, and it happens to be now, unfortunately, on the bottom of the ocean, because the Titanic, unfortunately, sunk. But it had nothing to do with me. I did the best job possible. Unfortunately, the manufacturers didn't do a good job in manufacturing this boat, or there was a tremendous storm, or whatever. Anyway, the point is, it was a terrible idea. So with this, we have finally answered the stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, when it says in our Mishnah that Hashem Echinam is Potur, and he doesn't have to make a Shavuah. Why does it say in that other Mishnah that he does have to make a Shavuah? So number one says, well, we're not talking about Hashem Echinam, we're talking about Hashem Masech. Number two, we're not talking about whether he's potter from paying. Of course he's potter from paying. Shemesach is potter, ain't a mishalim. We had the pasuk yesterday. So what is he making a shavua for? He's making a shavua to be able to get his salary. Why should he be entitled to a salary? He's a shlemiel. He didn't go and get the shkolim to the base meters. Says he, well, no, he's a wonderful guy. He's a very diligent fellow. The reason why he didn't get it is because an oinus either list the mezuyan or tavas vinasabaya. So that's pshat number one, to fam from the steer. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Hamani Rabbi Shimini, Rabbi Yochanan says, I have another text. That in fact the two Mishnayis are mechulik with one another. Our Mishnah is going according to the Chacham. The other Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shimon. Who is Rabbi Shimon? The Omar. We've had this Rabbi Shimon already a few times, including in our own Mishnah. Shimon says, "Kach b'shchay b'chriyuson yesh leno ino v'nishboin aleihem." If it's a type of kach with this chay b'chrayis, then there is a din of ino and there's a din of shvur. What means kach b'shchay b'chriyuson? Kach that were a neder, where the person says, "I take upon myself to go and bring a carbon oila or a carbon shlamim or what have you," and therefore, since he took upon himself, if this carbon gets lost, he's going to have to bring a second one. And if the second carbon gets stolen or lost or dies, he's going to have to bring a third one. So therefore, he has a financial interest in this carbon that it should be brought to the base of Mikdash. Since he has a financial interest, then yesh lo nayno, it's not something which belongs totally to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also has a financial interest in it, and therefore, if he's overcharged, there is a din of ayno. And also there's a din of shvua on this, because again, this is something that belongs to the individual. He has a financial interest. That's of course the Gabi Korbanos. What the Gemara is telling us is the same thing applies to Masechta Shkolim. Because over there by Shkolim, if the Shkolim were stolen or they were lost, what does it say in the Sefer? Then the Bnei Yair are going to have to go Shoiklin Achim Tachteim. They're going to have to go and give a second time. Since they're going to have to give a second time, they certainly have a financial interest in getting back those original Shkolim. Therefore, Nishbon Aleim, that's why it's a Din of Shavua, according to Reb Shimon. That's very good in the Sefer of the Mishnah at the top of the Yomid, with the Sefer we said that if it's before the Gizbar had a chance to be toidim the trumois into the kupois, then the Bnei Yair are on the hook and they have to make sure to go and give replacement funds. However, in the Reish of the Mishnah, which is talking about Mishnitra HaTrumah, where we said that the kachim are no longer, you're no longer chayv to pay a second time the sanya. And this is the Rashi at the top of the Yom, Rashi quoted this brisa. Tormin ala ovet vala govi vala osed ligvois, that when the gizvarim are taking out the truma from the lishka and they're putting it into the kupois, they say as ashtikel l'shem yichud, and they're saying that not only are we giving these funds on behalf of the yidin that already gave the shkolim, in other words, these shkolim that were actually taking in hand and putting in the kupois, but these shkolim are also on behalf of all of those yidin that sent their trumais, they sent their shkolim to the base of Migdash, but unfortunately, over they were lost, or Gavi, they were collected, and they just haven't arrived on time. There was a delay because El Al has a terrible, terrible strike now, and every single flight is delayed by a day or two or three, and therefore the Shkolim didn't come in time. But also Ligvais and those that are in the process of getting the funds together, but have not been able to go and get it all together and package it and send it over. So in such a case, if, for instance, you have Shkolim which were of wood, and it's after the Trumas HaKupois, where the Gizborim took the money out from the Lishka and put it into the Kupois, it's already included, it's already Ovud, and in such a case, you do not have to go and pay any longer. The Bnei Yair are off the hook. They don't have to pay. If they don't have to pay, then even Reb Shimon would agree they no longer have a financial interest. If they have no financial interest, then it's like regular Hegdish, then Ein Nishboin Aleim. Why does it say at the top of the Amud, the Mishnah Torah Teruma, Nishboin LeGizborim Lechar, they shouldn't have to make a Shavua, even according to Reb Shimon. Everything, Gemara, you're right, and I fall away from this Pshat, Ela a brand new Pshat, Ela Amra Bluza. What the Gemara is telling us is that even though min ha-toira we had the drushes of the Amud Beis of yesterday, from the psukim say by Shem Achinim, say by Shem Asachar, kiten isha reyeyu, klal, mit ha-klal, uprat ha-klal, mit ha-reyeyu, mit ha-misoy, mit ala drushes, to go and tell you that you are potur, that's min ha-toira. But the Rabbanan said that a person who's bringing Hegdish, especially the people that are the shluchim that are bringing shkolim to Yerushalayim, they shouldn't go and think, okay, if it gets lost, it gets stolen, I'm off the hook, I have a special limud to tell you I'm off the hook. No, that people should go and be extra diligent and extra careful and extra dedicated when it comes to funds that belong to Hegdish. If something gets lost or something gets stolen, we place upon him a special shvuah, so he should be more careful and more diligent.
There's no place where you say he could be mezalgel in anything. I don't know why you need like that. Anything you can't be mezalgel on.
You can mezalgel on every aver, you can be mezalgel. Otherwise, people that do averis, then otherwise of other mitzvahs, don't be mezalgel chas v'shalom. Anyway, so we get back to our Mishnah again. No yisa socher, eina mishalom. A person who's ashamed of socher, and chas v'shalom, something is stolen, or it is lost, by any one of the four things that we have in our Mishnah, the Avodim, the Karkois, the Shtorais, and the Ekdeishes, and the Mishal. Rami le Rav Yosef bar Chom le Rav. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah. Noi Tzuzoch, and the Mishal. The Mishnah we just learned. Or many, I'll ask you a kasha. Ha-Soicher es Apoil. Now, the Iker Chosem in a Sefer, because the one that is Soicher es Apoil, Zot Rashi, is the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash. He went and hired employees from the Hegdish monies. In other words, the Gizbar also needs people to go and help out in the Beis HaMikdash to do various chores. He hired them from Mo'is Hegdash. So, Soichas HaPoel, what are the chores that he needed? Lishmar Sapara, there was a Paraduma, and we have to make sure that this Paraduma is going to remain pristine, in the sense, Eshlei Olo Oleha Oil, that it's not going to do any work, nothing's going to go on it, no mum. He's got to go, that's his job, to go and watch it constantly to make sure there won't be a problem. Or Lishmores HaTinik, to go and watch over the Tinoikis. Bosara Tinoikis, so Rashi tells us, as we all recall from Masechtas Parah, that because of various kulois that the Chachamim made Legabi Hilchas Parah Demo, what kula are you talking about? What's Bosara Kula? The kula is, what happens if a koyin became, the koyin that's busy with the Parah Demo, what happens if he became Tamei? And if he becomes Tamei, what does he have to do? Goes to the mikveh. And now when he comes out of the mikveh, he's still a Tvul Yoyim. Can he continue doing whatever avoda needs to be done involving the paraduma? So the Chazal tell us there was a big machloikis between our Prushim, our Chachamim, and between the Tzedoikim and Baisusim. What did Tzedoikim and Baisusim hold? They said, no, Paraduma is so holy. If a Kohen is a Tful Yoim, he's not allowed to get near the Paraduma. Get out of here, it's a Tful Yoim. The Chum, however, went and brought a Rai from a Pasuk as a Nishtazim. Because the Chacham wanted to show the Prushim and Baisusim that they are wrong, they would go and be metame the Kohen that was going to go and do the Avodas Paraduma. They had him go to the mikvah that he should be a bona fide Tful Yoim. It's machlokes Rishonim whether or not we, in fact, were metame him with a Tumah D'Oraisa, or they were only metame him with a Tumah D'Rabbanan. But the mice, they were metame him, and they had him go to the mikvah, he's a Tful Yoim, and now he does the Paraduma. So, of course, Amaratzim and the scoffers would go and say, ah, you see, the Paraduma is not so choshev. You see, we even take a Tful Yoim, we're metame the Kohen. So, therefore, they went and built in tremendous number of other chumras. And one of the chumras was that the children that would go down to go and draw the water that was going to be added to the Paraduma ashes to go make the mixture for spritzing on the people that are Tamei would not be children that come from Lemoshel, Mei Sha'orim, or Bnei Brak, but they would go and be brought up in a special neighborhood in Yerushalayim where the stones, where they grew up in such a place where there was no potential of Tumas HaTohayim. How would they make sure there wouldn't be a Tumas HaTohayim? Because they would go and live on a place of bedrock where there could be nothing underneath. It couldn't be a cave underneath of a dead person. And therefore, this would make sure that they didn't step on top of earth that was mile alames, and that they became Chas V'Shalom Tamei. Because if they became Tamei, then they wouldn't be able to draw the water, even though we're talking about Tanoikis Kleine Kinderlach. Therefore, they made special chumras to go and show how chumra the Inyan is when it comes to Paradum. Anyway, the point that Agmar is trying to tell us is that we had to watch over these tinoikis, that they shouldn't leave the place where they were born and where they were being brought up. So you had to have shomrim for that, and therefore we paid special shomrim lishmer satinik. Lishmer es azroim. Azroim for purposes of bringing the korbanu oimer in the base of Migdash on Pesach, second day of Pesach, first day Chol HaMoed, they would bring the Korban Oimer. They had to make sure that there would be Oimer, and there would have to be Tvua. Of course, the Oimer was brought from barley, not from wheat. So they had to have special farms where they would go and grow this barley, and there were special shum to make sure that they would have Oimer for purposes of the Korban Oimer. Anyway, in all of these cases, the Gizbar is paying from Hegdish money, don't go and give him schar for watching either the Paraduma or the Tanoikis or the Zeroyim on Shabbos. Don't pay him schar Shabbos. Why? Of course, because you're not going to work on Shabbos. And lefichach, and as a clear result, a direct result, einachrai Shabbos olav. What happens if on Shabbos the Paraduma got a mum, or the Tanoikis wandered off, or the Zeroyim were cut down by someone? What happens then? He's off the hook because he wasn't working on Shabbos. He's not getting paid for Shabbos. He's not doing work on Shabbos. So, if anything happened, he is not responsible. However, hoy ischir Shabbos, schir chodesh, schir shana, schir shavua. This schir Shabbos doesn't mean a schar Shabbos. It means schir for a whole week. He's getting a weekly salary, not a daily salary. He's getting it for the whole week. Or he's getting it for the month, or he's getting it for the year, or he's getting it for the 7 years of Shemitah. So then that's what we call noisin le schar Shabbos, because we're not specifying and saying if the person is getting paid per day, he's getting paid lemoshel $100 a day, and we give him $700 a week, you're giving him schar Shabbos. However, we're saying we're not hiring you for a daily rate. I'm hiring you for a whole week, $700. So therefore, I'm not specifying that the $700 includes Shabbos. I'm just saying hire for the week. So it's theoretically possible that I'm paying him for 6 days and not paying him for Shabbos. That's what we call bavlo, and that is permissible. But since he is in fact getting paid, l'ficha krai Shabbos olav, he is responsible if there's any problems on Shabbos to the Paraduma, to the Tanoikis, or to the Zeroyim. Frank Timara, what means l'ficha achrai Shabbos olav my lav l'shalom? That if something happened to this Paraduma, it got in fact a mum, or as a leo ola oil, then this shomer would have to go and pay. Why do you have to go and pay? Didn't it say in our Mishnah that a shomer socher ain't a mishalim by hekdeshoyz? Here we're talking about hekdesh money, paying off this shomer. So he should go and say, fellas, I'm taka achroy, I'm taka responsible, and what I did was wrong, and I agree was wrong, but nevertheless, I'm more focused, nice sachar, einay mishalim bayek teishoiz. Why does it say, lefich achachai Shabbos, olov? Everything more light. Nimor gives the same teretz as we gave on the top of the Omud, lehafsid schoroi, meaning that if we go to this fellow and say to Shem Besochar, hey, look what happened, this parah got now a mum, or something similar, he goes and says, that may be, however, I am potter, because the Mishnah says, Noise Sachar Enem Mishalim, the reason why I'm with you here now in Bezin is because I'm demanding payment of my salary, I want you to go and pay. The Gemara could say like the Gemara said at the top, you're deserving of a salary. Okay, you don't have to go and pay for the fact that you didn't do a good job. But I'm not going to pay you a salary. But the Gemara asks Lechor even a better question. The Gemara's question is, you're telling me in the Seifa, Leficha Chachrai Shabbos Olav, means not that he has to go and pay, but rather that he doesn't get his salary. Let's go back to the Reisha of the same Mishnah Braisa. Diktoni Vushteit, Ein Chachrai Shabbos Olav. That if the person is a daily worker as opposed to a weekly worker, then you don't go and pay him a Shabbos salary, and therefore he's off the hook for Shabbos. Hachinami, you're going to tell me when it says Ein Achrai Shabbos Olav, so the Hafsid Schoroi, that we're talking about that he's in Bezdin and he's trying to demand his salary. Umi Yisle Schar Shabbos. Are you talking about that he's even entitled to a salary on Shabbos? Vaktoni, we said in the Reisha, Ein Noizle Schar Shabbos. So why are you in Bezdin tining about Yochrai Shabbos Olav, Ein Achrai Shabbos Olav? If you're telling me Ein Achrai Shabbos Olav means he doesn't get his salary, anyway he doesn't get his salary, because you don't pay him in the Reisha if he's a daily worker. So, l'chor, this pshat just doesn't work in this Mishnah or this price. So, Timur Ishtik, his Geschwing, he was taka quiet, he didn't know what to say. So, Amalei said, Midu Shmi L'chabha, maybe you heard up pshat? Amalei Hachi Amar of Sheshes. What does all this mean? What this means is that avad min atoira ashay mechinam by hegdish ain't a nishba, ashay mesacha by hegdish ain't a mishalim. However, what happens if the shomer says, even though min atoira I'm off the hook, but I want to be on the hook, I want to be lefnim mishuras adin, the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me an exemption, but I do not want to be exempt. If chas v'shalom something happens to any one of the things that I am being shomer, the para, the tinik, or the zroim, I want to be on the hook, and this shouldn't just be a verbal statement. I'm going to make now a kinyan miyada, meaning a kinyan sudr, to go and solidify and concretize his verbal commitment. Or, in such a case, if subsequently something does happen to the Bara Aduma, or something does happen to the tinik or the zroim, and he didn't do a good shmira, ooh, now that's what it says in the Braisa, that if he was Schir Shabbos, Schir Chodesh, Schir Shana, Schir Shavua, that Noisin Loi, not only Noisin Loi Schir Shabbos, but Leficha Chrai Shabbos Olav, he would have to go and pay. Ah, you told me Hashem Esachar is off the hook by Hegdish? Yes, you're right. But here too, by Konami Yodoi, he certainly has the right to obligate himself voluntarily more than what the Torah requires. Alifnim Mishur Satin.
Question.
Yes, Rabbi Kohn.
You have caterers that have affairs on Shabbos.
Yeah.
They hire people to work just for Shabbos alone. How do you explain that?
Very good question. I assume that if they are...
They don't work a week.
I have no idea. I assume that if the Erlich Eden, that these... they asked a shayla to a competent rov, then he gave them direction as to what to do.
I'm asking you, this is routine.
I said, I'm not a caterer, so I have no idea. Go and ask the caterers. Find out what they find out the ashgacha. Find out who the shachtim
were. Food that they're getting paid. Everything else.
So, in other words, it's a shayla of treifus if the waiter is getting paid for putting the food on the table.
One day you come to the members and ask, you do everything you have to do.
I'll tell them that I listen to Rabbi Cohen.
All kinds of questions, you postpone them, you push them away.
Anyway, let's go back to the Gemara. So back to our Mishnah. Reb Shimon Oimer, Kod Shim Shechai Bachriusen, Yesh Lenoi Noav, Shein Echai Bachriusen, Ein Lenoi Noav. We already explained this a few lines ago, that the Sora of Reb Shimon is that because it's Kod Shim Shechai Bachriusen, it's not purely Hegdish to Gavoya, but this individual has a financial interest, and therefore Oino applies, and Shavuot would also apply, etc. Don Tadaka made Reb Yitzchak Bar Abba. You know why they're chayiv. Now, what is this Bahashem v'chichesh? There's a pasuk that talks about Hashem me'ilois, and the pasuk begins nefesh ki sechta umor lamal b'Hashem v'chichesh v'amisay v'pikodin ay'bisim v'syod ay'bigozle ay'shekes amisay. I said we're talking about a Hashem Eilois. My mistake. It's really Hashem Gzeilois. What's Hashem Gzeilois? A person who is moil b'Hashem v'chichesh v'amisay, he denies to his chaver about a pikodin sesum v'syod means halvo ay'bigozle gabei gezel ay'shekes amisay. He didn't pay his employees' wages. In any one of these cases, if the person refuses to go and pay, and he makes a false shvuah, and afterwards he confesses, he has to go and not only pay him back his money and added a choymish, but he has to go and bring a korban asham gzeilus. But now the lashon of the pasuk is very interesting, because it says, "Amor lemal b'Hashem v'chichesh b'misay." The choy is not so much a me'ila against Rabbeinu Shlom, it's a me'ila against his chaver. A ben odom lachaveroi dika situation, not so much a ben odom lamokin. But because the pasuk starts off that mola mal b'Hashem v'chichesh, the Gemara darshins in the following manner: kochim shechay b'achriyusan, kochim when the person has a financial interest, chayiv shenikoyer ben, because I say about this individual and about these kochim b'Hashem v'chichesh. Doesn't really say b'Hashem; it says mola mal b'Hashem. V'chichesh v'amisay. The Gemara puts together b'Hashem v'chichesh that what he's being makchish the Rabbeinu Shloilam. V'she'ein chay b'achriyusa. If it's a type of carbon that he's not chayv, in other words, it was a nedova and not a neder. So if this carbon gets lost or stolen or dies, he's off the hook. He's potter. Shnikoyer behen b'amisay v'chichesh. Because in this case, I'm talking about the zakasha of a bein odom lachaver. Now, if you think about this for a moment, the words in this brisa don't make sense. Why does the words in the brisa don't make sense? Because we're talking about Nasham Gzeles. Nasham Gzeles means that there is a dispute between two people, and one says to the other, you stole from me, you didn't give me back my alvo, you didn't give me back my pikodoy. The Torah says about this type of situation, Umola b'Hashem, v'chichesh, and v'chichesh v'amisay. So now, what do I learn from Umola mal b'Hashem? The choyer that mal b'Hashem comes to tell you that this was a chosh against the Ribbono shel Olam. And if it says v'chichesh v'amisay, it means that there's only a hakosha against his fellow Jew. So now let's analyze the case. A kochim shechayiv b'achriyusan, if he has a financial interest in the kochim, he's chayiv. The reason why he should be chayiv is not because it says v'Hashem v'chichesh, v'Hashem v'chichesh sounds like it has to do with the Rabbeinu Shalom. It's b'Hashem. The reason why he should be chayiv is because v'chichesh b'amisay, because since he has a financial interest, so therefore he's also a baldin or a baldover in this case. I have financial interest about this carbon. So therefore, the reason why kochim chayiv v'chriyusan chayiv is not because v'chem v'chichesh. It's because of v'chichesh b'amisay. And the second case, v'she'en chayiv v'chriyusan, if he has no financial interest, it's a nedava. If it gets lost or stolen, it doesn't bother me. Therefore, it says he's potter. The reason why it's potter, it should be shenemar b'Hashem v'chichesh, because being machish against the Rabbeinu Shlom, he's not being machish against Amisai, because Amisai has no financial interest. So the chori, it's punk faker. Amalei. So when Rabbi Yitzchak bar Abba heard this time, he said to him, klapilaya. It should be just the opposite. Ifcham istab. Based on Svara, it's the she'enachai b'achrayis that we talk about. And if it's Yesh ben Achrayis, it's v'chichesh b'amisay. It should be just the opposite. Amalei, so the Tana said to him, Ismaya, should I erase and delete this entire brisa because it doesn't read correctly? Amalei loy, no. Keep on learning the brisa. We're just going to modify the pshat in the brisa slightly. Achikara. Kochim shechay b'achriyusan, chayiv. Because even though in this case, it's kochim, it belongs to the Boyishlam. This Rabu me Hashem v'chichesh. So Rashi says, the principal primary reason why there's a din of Aynor and there's a din of Shvur, etc., by Kochish Chai Bachrusan, is because of the fact that it's v'chichesh b'amisay. He's in fact going against his chavim. However, in case you're going to go and say, it's Kochim. It's Rabu me Hashem v'chichesh. The Hashem v'chichesh doesn't come to contradict. It's nisrab. It's included in the case of Hashem v'chichesh. Why did the pasuk bother saying umol abal b'Hashem? Why did you just go and say v'chichesh b'amisay? It tells you b'Hashem v'chichesh to tell you that some cases, even though it's partially hegdish, you're still chayiv and Hashem gzeilos for what you did. What type of case is that? Karchim Shechai Bachriusan. If someone stole Karchim Shechai Bachriusan, you're chayiv to go and pay Hashem Gzeilois. Why? Ah, it's Karchim. It's not Vachichish Bachriusan. Yisrabu mi Hashem Vachichish. Shein Chai Bachriusan. However, if the person has no financial interest in this carbon whatsoever, now, if someone stole it, Bateri does not have to go and pay back the original Balaam, because the original Balaam say, listen, if I don't have the carbon anymore, I'm off the hook, I don't have to bring it. Why the image? Because he, in fact, is in the smayet, he is excluded from Amisai Bechichesh. When do you have to bring Hashem Gzeilus? Only if Bechichesh Bamisai. He did no Bamisai anymore, because this Amisai has no financial interest in the carbon.
Excuse me, even when you bring the carbon that you have a chayse, mm-hmm. So the Torah says, no, which coin to give it to, because their coin gets the ore, and or they get the, if it's an Asham, or a
I don't know if that's the case that you can go and designate the carbon, the coin. You certainly can designate the coin by Truma. But if no, you have a coin himself who's not a member of that particular...
No, but you go and you say which Mishmar to go to. You say, okay, I want to go when Yanko...
How many Koyanim are in that Mishmar?
I
believe you.
I don't know. It's
but presumably, at least 50 or 100 kayanim.
People do all the time. People do it all the time when there's no tight way to contract something, mm-hmm. but they optimize how they have a certain party take care of it.
Yeah.
They make sure to go and you know it seems like there's some tovas hanah here.
So Reb Shimon apparently holds
at least with the mishmar. If not for the individual kohen, I want to make sure that this mishmar gets my korbanos because that mishmar. I know families from the Mishmar, I like them. They should have the olos, they should have the basar, they should enjoy it.
Apparently, according to Reb Shimon, that's not enough value for purposes of bringing the Hashem Gzeilois, because if he doesn't have a real financial interest in terms of that the carbon is still his, it's only a financial interest to the extent of the Toivah Sonor that you're referring to. Apparently, that's not enough for Reb Shimon's purposes that he should go and be chayv. Reb Yehuda Omer, Af Amoicha Sefer Torah, Margolius Ubehema Ein Lamoinah. Not only the four categories that we had, the karkois, the shtaris, the avodim, and the ekdeshois, but if a person is selling a sefer Torah, or he's selling pearls, or he's selling behemoths, no din avayna. Tanya b'yuda oimer, afa moicha sefer Torah ein lo yana, you know why? Lefisha ein keitz lidomeh. When it comes to sefer Torah, mipoz ubpeninim yikara, the Torah has such a value that there's no way that you can go and limit its value. Sefer Torah is worth millions, not just worth it $50,000 or whatever. So therefore, you can go and charge the highest limit that you want. A person wants to go and find a match, because we've got the behemoths, you want to have two behemoths doing work together in the field, or Margolius, you want to go and make a beautiful pearl necklace or pearl bracelet, so you want to have matching pearls. So therefore, since it has to be matching, you're willing to overpay to go and find a perfect match. It's not just a question of pearls and behemoths. Anything and everything that a person owns, he would like to have a second one, so that he have a pair, so it looks nicer. Oh, I have two, not just one.
What if it's a bad thing? So why would you want to have a
bad what? A bad pearl or a bad behemoth? Nobody would buy it. We're talking about something that people are buying and selling. Everybody wants to pair things. Rabbi Yehuda, hani chashivalei, hani loy chashivalei. Avada would be choshev to always have pairs of things, but having two pens that look exactly the same, oh, it looks very nice, I have a pair of pens. But it's not the same thing as having a pair of oxen or a pair of pearls. That's much more choshev. Break the more about kama, even though we said in the Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the ein lehen oinah, does that mean the sky's the limit? A sefer Torah that should cost $50,000, I can go and charge for it $1,000,000. Amra meimer ad kedei demeim. Only another 100%. You can only pay up to 200%. But there's no such thing as the sky's the limit anywhere and everywhere. And this, by the way, Tosis says back to Bladigo, that doesn't only apply to the din of the sefer Torah and to the Margolius of Behema. This also applies to our Mishnah. Even though we said in our Mishnah, the Ein Lehem Oinah, and according to one man, the Amar, even Bittel Mekach Ein Lehem, that's up to 200%. But once you're charging 201%, you're charging more than double, then everybody agree there is a din of Oinah after all.
Nobody wants to pay.
There's a din of Oinah. So how do you want to define the word Oinah? You want to define the word Oinah as just being a shtus? We're talking about Oinah in a broad sense.
Nobody wants to pay more than a certain amount
I'm sorry, nobody wants to. Of course, no, of course nobody wants to. But if he paid more, the question is, does he have a legal right to go and either invalidate the sale or at least to get his money back? What happens if you have a soldier who is in the army and unfortunately he loses his horse, he loses his sword, or he loses chatitum? Chatitum, explains Rashi, means his mug and his shield. Without that, chas v'shalom, the person is going to be killed. So at this point, he's willing to give $1 million for it. So again, there wouldn't be a din of oinor. Or Barry will correct me, not the din of oinor. There's no din of bitul mekach. And presumably, again, it would be limited to the 200% that we said before, because of chayin nefesh, because the person is worried about his life. Therefore, he would be willing to overpay. Now, from here until the end of the perek, we're going to be involved in, if you will, halacha, but quasi, I got it, at least for today. And then tomorrow we're going to have the famous story of the Tanish Lachnoi, Mi'etz Hashem, to be learned tomorrow. Just like there's Ainoa by cheating someone, chas v'shalom, in a financial transaction, you could also cheat someone. We don't really mean to cheat someone, we really mean to is to cause the other person verbal pain. Because Ainoa Nekach HaMemker is also pain, it's financial pain. Here we're talking about verbal pain. So give me examples. Person goes into a store and he starts eyeing all of the items and he asks them, how much does this cost, how much does that cost? And he has absolutely no intention of buying anything. So therefore he's just being nosy and curious, and the mocher assumes that the reason why he's asking for the price is because he wants to pay. Therefore, that is Einoas Dvar. If a person is Baruch Hashem Baal Tshuva, he shouldn't go and say, remember the good old days, which were the bad old days, when you were a bad guy. Don't tell him that, because that's Chas v'Shalom Einoas Dvar. Remember your fathers, goyim, shoyim. Shneimar says the boss Megillah, he said, "So chatzenu, make sure not to do einoz dvarim against gerim or anybody else." Tanorban, leisanu ishes amisai, but einoz dvarim akosam medabre. This pasuk is not talking about cheating in finance; it's talking about injuring someone by insulting him and making him feel bad. How do you know? Ato im einoz dvarim, eri alav einoz mamay. So that pasuk already says that einoz mamon omer. And the Brisa gives us the same examples of the Mishnah. And now the Brisa adds, Al Yemulai Pesha Ochan the Velas of Trafish Gotsim Ramasim Balum by Toira Shinem Piagvura. How can you go and come and learn Toira? You Chabraman, you Shaygits, you former guy that used to eat the Velas of Trafish, how can you? Imo Yisurim Baumalav, what happens if a regular Jew in Klal Yisrael unfortunately has all types of Tzaras and Yisurim? Imo Yichaloim Boim Olav, or he has Nebuch, all types of illnesses. I show you Makabra's bottom, Nebuch, he had to go and bury his children. Ayyamulai Kidar Shaomulai Chaber with Eiv. Don't go and quote Sukkim now from Eiv, where the friends of Eiv unfortunately gave him terrible, it wasn't Musar, but rather they went and insulted him. And they said to Eiv, Hali Yerascha, Kislasacha, Tikvascha, Vesem Devarecha, Schorna Mihu Noki Ovad. What they were saying to Eiv is, Eiv was complaining, Nebuch, about all of the Yesura Eiv. As we know, all those of you that have learned Eiv and those that have not learned Eiv, Eiv was a great Eivet Hashem, and then the Malach came and said to Rabbi Nishlam, the reason why he's a great Eivet Hashem is because everything is going swell. You start giving him Yisurim Shal Eiv, and you'll see whether he's still going to retain his Amunah and Bitoch in the Rabbi Nishlam. And in fact, the Kodesh Baruch Hu listened to that Malach, and he in fact inflicted on him all types of Yisurei Eiv, to the point that Eiv was ready to become a Kofer. And now the friends of Eiv said now to Eiv, Hali Yerascha, your Yerushamayim that you used to have, Kislasecha Tikvascha V'Sayim Derechecha, this should have solidified your Emunah and Bitach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though you're never getting these Yisurim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan why he did it. So therefore, your Yerushamayim should be fortifying you. Scharna Mihu Naki Avad, if you were totally a Naki, and you didn't do anything wrong, then you wouldn't have this situation that you have now. And therefore, whatever situation you have, for whatever reason, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has his plans, and therefore don't go and become a kofer. So now, if you have someone that has chaloim, or Nebuchadnezzar's Kovitz Bonav, don't go and start telling him, oh, the reason why this happened to you is obviously somebody deserved it in the family because somebody did the wrong thing and you didn't have sufficient Yirah Shamayim and you didn't have sufficient Bitochen and Amuna. That's not the message to give to a person who is suffering. If a chamar means an ezel driver, a person who drives a donkey, and he needs tevuah, presumably either to transport the tevuah or to feed to his donkey, don't go and tell to the chamarim, why don't you go to Mr. Smith? He lives across the street over there. He sells tevuah. The yadea boy, and I that am giving the suggestion to go to Mr. Smith, he never had tevuah to sell him. This whole thing is a baba maisa. What the chamarim are going to do is they're going to go to Mr. Smith. He's going to say, what are you drinking me a cup? I never sold tevuah in my life. And so therefore, that's einoz dvarim, because he's just causing injury verbally. Don't go and start handling and negotiating for an item of merchandise when you don't even have the money to pay for it. So you just drain the other guy a cup for no reason. You go and tell the moicher, oh, I want to go and buy this wonderful object, and he doesn't have the money to pay for it. And I can't pay $100. If you go and lower it to $50, maybe, yeah, no, or $25, he starts negotiating back and forth. He doesn't even have the money. It's just a mishigas. I know his mom is even worse than I know his mom. Why? She said, "Nema boy v'reisam alakecha." She said, "Nema boy v'reisam alakecha." In the pasuk of I know his dvarim, it says in the pasuk, "V'leisaynu ish esamis of v'reisam alakecha." Kini Hashem alakecha. That says by I know his dvarim, but in the pasuk of the I know his mamain, it doesn't say the word v'reisam alakecha. So you see that this is, and it's, to a certain degree, it's even worse than I know his mom. Reblazo Aimer, Zebeguf is a mamain. So now the Gemara is explaining why Taka is I know as Dvarm worse than I know as mamain. Zebeguf, I hear you're causing insult and injury to the person himself, and here you're just injuring the mamain. Okay. So I Taka gypped him and I stole from him an extra $5, $100, $1,000, whatever it is. Not a nice thing to do, but it's only the mamain. Here, if I injure the person by causing him all types of grief and anguish, that's Begufai. You can always pay back an overcharge, you become a Baal Tshuva, and you give him back the money. But once you went and injured the person by saying something improper, that you can never take back. I mean, you can go and say, I'm sorry, but it's still, there's still something, that an impression which is left for the whole, for the person's life. It's as if Chas Shalom went and killed him. But the Gemara is now focusing specifically on the Lashon Shefer Dam. It doesn't say Kihilu Hargai. It says as if he spilled his blood. What does that mean, he spilled his blood? Amalei. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak told him, Shapak Amris. This expression is very, very appropriate. The Chazina lay the Ozel Sumka bi Osi Chevra. We see that when he came into this encounter, he had a flesh that was rosy and a red or pink complexion. And after he was insulted, he comes back totally pale with a white complexion. What happened to that rosy complexion that he had until now? It's as if the blood was spilled and he lost all that blood in his face, and that's why he's no longer red, he's now white. In Eretz Yisrael, what are they very careful about? They're very careful not to be malbin ponim of someone else. That's a special chumrah that they have in Eretz Yisrael. So the chumrahs that they have over there, it's not only to give trumas and maisus and shmita and chazoin ish shiurim, but they were very, very careful about chas v'sholem not to insult somebody. The Omer of Chanina, hakol yordim legehenim chutz mishloisha. Everybody goes down to Gehenim except for three. So before the Gemara has a chance to finish, the Gemara screams, hakol silka daitach. Everybody goes down to Gehenim. After all, there are a lot of erlechiyim that hopefully don't go to Gehenim. Ela'eima kol ha'yordim legehenim. Even those bad guys that go to Gehenim, they will eventually come out of Gehenim. Chutz, except for three categories. They stay there in Gehenim forever and ever, and they unfortunately do not have a good time there. Then who are these guys? Someone chas v'sholem violates somebody else's wife. The case that we're talking about, someone who insults someone in public and therefore causes him halbanas panim. Someone who gives a bad nickname to someone else. If you call someone by a bad nickname, isn't that just a subset of a malmani chaver berabim. Everything where avagav the doshbe bishmei. What means avagav doshbe bishmei? Look at the last Rashi, the doshbe, three lines from the bottom. Kvar horgul mekach shemacham oisekach or oisekain. In other words, unfortunately, this person already has gotten this abuse before. Not only this is not the first time; he's been verbally abused now for the last year, 5 years, 10 years. Is a shaygitz and a gudnik, etc. The ain ponim islavnois. And therefore, unfortunately, he's used to being called this. Whenever he comes to Besmedesh, oh, the Shai gets kim teran. This has happened so many times. His rosy complexion stays in place and does not turn white. However, this person continues to try to denigrate him, and his intention was, in fact, to go and embarrass him. Oh, so this machane shem lechaber, even though he's used to being called these types of bad names, nevertheless, the person who continues to go and give him the bad name, and he does it not because stam, but he was machavin lachlima mischavin. He's one of the three that chas v'shalom. He is yardim the einam.
Amen.
Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.
Story, I think.